First up, I'm joined by M. John Fahey, who writes for Aspen Daily News and the Roaring Fork Weekly Journal. Thanks for taking my call, John.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me.
You've got a recent article called New Option for Disposal of U.S. Forest Service Site Near El Jebel, about federal land adjacent to Crown Mountain Park. There are two parcels, the upper parcel, 30 acres across three sections, and the lower parcel, 40 acres of what you call pure riparian splendor with public access trails to the Roaring Fork River. It sounds like the White River National Forest intends to preserve that lower parcel, popular for hiking, fishing, and walking dogs, as you point out. But things may be about to change for the upper parcel, according to your interview with Scott Fitzwilliams, supervisor of the White River National Forest. Tell us more.
Well, it's kind of interesting because for the past three winters, I've lived at a place that's literally right across East Valley Road from that upper parcel.
Mm-hmm.
So almost every day for the past three winters, I have tromped upon that land. And when I spent my first winter up there in 2016-17, I had heard that the Forest Service had classified that land as an administrative parcel, which is kind of the lowest level on the Forest Service classification food chain, which means that it's eligible for disposal. And the consensus was that they were basically looking to sell it. And, you know, you have, anytime you're in a Colorado resort community and all of a sudden a big chunk of land like that comes up for sale, your heart races. And then
right.
You think, of course, of the worst case scenario. And then it just sort of, I hadn't heard anything about that for a couple of years. I'd made a few phone calls to the Forest Service where I asked, okay, what's the status? They had to go through, you know, pretty typical bureaucratic layers and reports. And I'm not sure if it actually had to go through NEPA or whether they were just doing an environmental impact statement or what they were doing. But anyway, I was reading through the minutes of a Crown Mountain Park board meeting from a couple of months ago, and all of a sudden, just in the fine print, there was something about this new program that the Forest Service has where they can actually lease land that has been classified as an administrative parcel. So I got with Scott Fitzwilliams, who's always been an excellent, excellent source. He seems to be a good guy. And he told me about this leasing program that I guess was instigated in December of last year, so it's actually almost a year old. But they have the opportunity right now to entertain proposals from local governments to enter into a leasing relationship with them for projects that are quote unquote community good. And the actual definition of community good has not been established by the National Forest Service office yet. But in the meantime, the Forest Service has hired a real estate specialist, the White River National Forest has hired a real estate specialist, and she is in the process of examining the options for what that parcel could be. And what they said to me was that, for instance, I mean, I'm just using this as an example, Town of Basalt or Eagle County could come to them and say, hey, look, we want to build 100 homes on that parcel, and in turn we will give the Forest Service 10 employee housing units and help you build a new office. I mean, again, that's just an example.
Right.
And so they have this option that they didn't used to have. Now, they still haven't made the determination on whether they're going to pursue that for that particular parcel or whether they're going to actually try to sell it. But anyway, so it's an interesting option, but to me, it still means that there could be, you know, who knows what could be built on that parcel on East Valley Road. Now, the governor on that carburetor, of course, is that El Jebel intersection on Highway 82, where CDOT and Eagle County have, I think it's just CDOT, has regulations that if anything is built on East Valley Road that increases traffic on that road, then the intersection has to be upgraded. The cost estimate on that's about $4 million.
Oh, so, boy.
Anyway, not necessarily a done deal, but, you know, now is it better for the Forest Service to enter into a lease agreement with Eagle County or the Town of Basalt or whatever? I mean, if there's going to be something built on that property, is it better for it to be community good, like affordable housing, or is it better for it to be some rich people's, you know, project put in by a developer? Well, I guess that's up to personal taste. But anyway, so that's where it's at, and they should have a draft of their decision on that sometime this winter, and maybe a final decision by late next spring or early summer. And so that's kind of the status there. I'm sort of holding my breath because I have a kind of a direct connection to that parcel, but I'm not the only one. A lot of people go out there hiking.
Well, I just want to give you the golf clap here because this is what Shoe Leather Reporting is all about. I just love that when I read this story, I thought, man, way to go, Fahey, putting this stuff all together. Not a particularly attention-grabbing story compared to other stuff you cover, but it's so interesting when reporting on the Mid-Valley how a spot like this has so many different stakeholders interested in it. Housing for employees would be a big opportunity for Scott and the White River National Forest, especially given the budget constraints as a federal agency. Why does leasing the land in partnership with a local government, for example, work better than simply selling? Where would the money go if they sell the land?
Well, this will not shock anybody, but it's sort of a convoluted situation. As I understand it, if they sell that property, a high percentage of it stays with the local Forest Service, maybe 80%, maybe 100%, somewhere in there. So, but that's a one-time deal, and they get whatever number of millions of dollars they get, and I think they can use it for whatever they want. If they leased it for cash, which is an option, then that money would go to Washington, D.C., into the Forest Service Treasury. If they lease it under this community good thing, which is an in-kind lease, then, as Scott described it, that's an ongoing thing. It's not just a one-time infusion of cash, which I'm sure the cash would go to good causes too. But this really gives them, you know, the option to kind of define their own terms. And he even said that one of the things could be that maybe whoever they entered into a lease with could build them a new campground. It seemed like it was a wide open thing. And like I said earlier, the actual fine print is still being writ in stone in Washington, D.C. So they're not able to really start talking to a local governmental entity right now because they don't have that fine print from Washington. But anyway, something's going to happen with that parcel. It may be something that if you're a real lover of that land, if you're used to going out there and just hiking, it may end up being a bummer kind of thing. But one of the things that Scott stressed was that lower parcel along the river, nobody needs to worry about anything happening to that. It may change jurisdictions. It may go into a conservation easement. It may be acquired by Eagle County or Pitkin County Open Space. But Scott said that there's no chance that that's going to end up. And that's the real gem of those two administrative parcels is all those trails down near the river where people fish and hike and walk their dogs.
But the upper parcel, which is in three different sections, is of interest for a lot of these different potential uses. You talked to the executive director of Crown Mountain Park, who says they'd be interested in owning the acreage next to the volleyball courts, and then certainly, you know, different input from other folks here about what could happen. Why was Senator Bennett's name in your story? This change, this ability for them to do this sort of in-kind type of leasing, this was basically in the last farm bill?
Yeah, now you're asking me to remember the fine details of something I wrote a week ago, and I've written about 11 things since then.
So exactly.
Apparently, as I remember it, Senator Bennett actually was introducing a bill that was specific to this type of thing, where the Forest Service could lease it. And because of the convolutions of the legislative process, it ended up being attached to the Farm Bill as a rider. Now, you probably know more about that kind of stuff than I do. It's alchemy to me. So, but anyway, Senator Bennett was apparently the driving force behind this bill.
Yeah, and it seems like it certainly has the potential to live up to the idea of this public good approach, community good approach. But like you said, it's as yet codified. My guest is M. John Fahey, and you've been a journalist for a long time. What other bylines did you have before your current stint at Aspen Daily News and Roaring Fork Weekly?
Well, I edited a magazine called the Mountain Gazette for 13 years. and would love to still be doing that, except we sold the magazine, and the people we sold it to closed it down, took it digital for a while, and then just sort of fizzled out. I was a contributing editor of Backpacker magazine for more than 10 years. I've been writing for Backpacker for, I hate to say this, I've been writing for Backpacker for more than 30 years. And I've written for the High Country News, and the second longest stint that I ever had besides the Mountain Gazette was I worked for the Summit Daily News in Summit County for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I was the first reporter hired by the Summit Daily when the paper launched in 89. And as a matter of fact, a couple weekends ago, we just had a 30th reunion party in Buena Vista. It seems like a weird place to have a reunion for the Summit Daily News, but Mark Fox, the longtime photographer for the Summit Daily, now lives in Buena Vista. So we had a whole bunch of people come from a whole bunch of different places and drink beer and swap stories about the early days of the Summit Daily News, which in 1994 was sold to Swift, which owns the Aspen Times and the Glenwood Post Independent.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, it's really fun to talk to you. And of all the stories we could talk about, I know this one's a little bit dry, but let's keep it going. Please come back on Booked again sometime later in this year or early next year, and keep up the great work. Like you said, you've already written 11 more stories since this one. But I just thought this was an interesting one because, like you said, it's something that you personally experienced and cared about. And then to kind of put the pieces together and try to map out how we got to where we are. And like anything in the Mid-Valley, there's just so many people and agencies that this could perhaps impact that, you know, just it makes for an interesting story. So thanks again for speaking to me.
Okay. You have a great day, Gavin.